Just wanted to add a thought here. Although I am not against discipling believers, I'm not against parents and inculcating the right scriptural values and all of those things. But I don't get the sense that, what I get the sense here is a personal, individual, lack of a better word, exercise on the Apostle Paul's connection or with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we look, it's two. In this chapter here, we get two things. It's either I or the Lord Jesus Christ, and the connection between both. Now, we ask the question, how could I get to this point? Well, what we have to realize is what happened to the Apostle Paul with his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. That which was of the first man was put off. And that which was of the second man was put on. And so it tells us, that which I gain, filth. Why? So that the end of verse 8, it says, that I may gain Christ. 2, that I may be found in him. And in chapter 10, to know him. So, unless, and again, you know, we mentioned the type of gospel we so often preach, but when a man is truly become saved, it is the excellencies of Christ that makes the difference in my life, and not what was of the first man that I grasp onto, that I lay hold on. That has to go. And I just mentioned, even though the collective, the discipling and so forth, it's good. It's so necessary. But here, I could do that, as they say, till the cow comes out. I mean, I can disciple, and we probably have experienced that, where I say, this is the way to do it. This is the way. And we show from the scripture, and we encourage. And yet, we don't see any evidence that this is, this is working in a saint's heart. If they don't get to the point where I gain Christ and I have a knowledge of him, and that what was of the first man, the first Adam, fall off, that was filled, because now what do I gain? The excellency of Christ. And that, my encouragement can help. But until I get to that point, individually, I am going to always remain the way I am. That's why I was thinking this morning in chapter 9, and when the apostle recounts his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, it always said, Saul, Saul. And in 20:26, I believe it says, he spoke in the Hebrew to me. It just seems so individual, so that his heart may be moved, because I can't move your heart. Only the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done, and what I want to know of him.
So it is experimental. And that's why Philippians is that type of an epistle. It is a game. It is an expression of a Christian. That's a normal Christian life. Philippians is a normal Christian life. That is what it ought to be. Exemplified in the Apostle Paul and others that you read about them there. So, though our parents and our Sunday school teachers are going to go and do all of their effort to direct us into the right pathway, Paul didn't say he counted, he said, I count. As we have heard, and I want to underline that I have a responsibility now, having heard the gospel, have seen the Lord. He said, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. It was now my responsibility. So each and every one of us have that great responsibility to come to that point and do the math right. And the beauty about it is this, you talk to somebody and 15 years later, no movement. The Apostle Paul did not say, I counted in the past tense and stopped there. But he said, and I count. I do count. So I have done it once in the past when I have decided to follow Jesus. And we all have, if you are saved, you one of those days have come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, said, oh, I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to spend time. I'm not watching those TV things anymore. I'm not going to do this. I am going to spend time. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to go to the prayer meeting. No, my parents are not going to tell me. I'm going to do it. In that joy in my heart, I want to do it. That's when I count it. But many of us stop there. The Apostle Paul, apparently, every day, was living in the fact of what he had seen on the road to Damascus. And he said, I count. So every day, because the temptation is going to be every day. Well, when I achieve these things, the world is going to be always attractive. And we need to be conscious. That's a practical thing here. That every day, when I get up in the morning, what is my goal? What is my gain? What is the profit that I'm going to make today? Is it Christ? Or is it something else? That will help me to adjust as I count every day. But it is important to realize that I have to make those decisions. It's a very experimental thing. It is a Christian life that lives day in and day out. And when I fall on my face and it goes the wrong way, it's okay. Get up again. And look and remember what had happened in the past. And let's turn around. And let's continue to go back and let's count. But that is what will help us to move forward toward the mark.
Does anyone have any thoughts about what Paul says and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings? Any thoughts to help us? Yes, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and so on.
Just before we get there, something was mentioned, and I just want to reemphasize the thought and the importance of the gospel. In verse 9, where he makes that transition from what he has done in terms of counting all things lost, he sort of sticks in there this matter of righteousness. And really, the whole doctrine of righteousness is really at the heart of the gospel. And so we talked about this morning that the gospel is necessary not only for the unbeliever, but it's necessary for us as believers. Because we have to remember, in order for us to be in a right relationship with God, it is because of the finished work of Christ. Everything that hinges upon me walking and having a relationship with God and being set to, you know, if you want to use the simple language, going to heaven, or the fact that we've been, you know, made right with God, the whole doctrine of justification, the whole doctrine of what is at the heart of the gospel, Paul says, you know what? I realize that I can't get there by any means other than by faith in Christ. It's the faith of Christ. The whole teaching around his redemptive work is the basis upon which I can have a right relationship with God. And if that's the basis, then the only reason for living is Christ. And I think what happens is we get kind of lazy in our thinking. I get kind of lazy in my thinking in realizing that, you know what, well, I'm okay with God now because of me, or because I'm doing this or I'm doing that. Paul realized that without the faith of Christ, the teaching or the doctrine surrounding his redemptive work, his exaltation, he would have no standing with God. Now that I have a standing with God, being called by him, the only thing that matters now is I want to know him. And not only know him experimentally, as we've been talking about, but then it goes into the next thing. He says, I want to even be here, even as he was here, to go through what he went through, to know what it is to be in this place the way he was here in this place. I think that's what the fellowship of his sufferings indicate. And also the power of his resurrection. That how did God accomplish this matter of righteousness? It was through resurrection. That's why the resurrection is critical to the gospel. That's why resurrection is necessary to understand. 2 Corinthians 5, I think it says, if the one died for all, then we're all dead. But in that he died, he and rose again, that we should no longer henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him who died and rose again. Essential truth is the resurrection. And so Paul says, how did that come about? How was God able to establish a righteousness? He does it through the power of his resurrection. In Ephesians, when Paul takes us way up into the appreciation of these things, he says, the same power which raised Christ from the dead is the same power that raised us up and gives us light. So the gospel is really essential in terms of understanding where we are, who we are, and when we understand that in its fullness, or as we come to appreciate it more and more, we see the centrality and the importance of Christ, and then we say, I want to know him more.